Take your Bible, please. Matthew chapter 7 tonight, and we're going to have a great time in God's Word. And I went over and got things started, and we're starting Thursday school. Have you ever heard of that? Amen. Only in California, only at Lancaster Baptist. Amen. And so Pastor said, hey, let me know how that works out. And I said, I will. We're looking forward to it. We're having classes on Thursday until we can get some room around here. Anybody thought about building a new building or anything like that? That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? But I'm so thankful for all that's happening. And we got choir and the practices and conference coming up. And just what a privilege it is to be in a church that's going for good and for God. And it's a joy to be with you tonight, and it's a privilege to preach the Word of God anywhere, but it is an awesome privilege to do it right here at Lancaster Baptist. And I respect so much the ministry of the Word, and then the ministry of our pastor. And I remember as a 15-year-old boy walking into 304 West Lancaster Boulevard. And I'm dating myself now, right? The year before we moved into the North Auditorium. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I believe everything he's saying, but he sure does. How many of you know what I'm talking about, all right? And God just has used the Word of God to transform my life from this pulpit. And so I'm just thrilled to be with you tonight. Well, if you would look at Matthew chapter 7, and I believe you have some notes there. I'm not sure if you do. And if you would follow along, we'll read two verses. And then if you have Isaiah 35, if you would find that as well, kind of a parallel passage. And we'll look at both of these tonight. And I pray that our time here would be an encouragement. I want to talk to you about the Holy Highway, the Christian life. And the Bible calls it a highway. Jesus called it a way in many different places in God's Word. It's titled that. And of course, I enjoy traveling many different ways, but I really like driving. I don't know. It's just maybe something that I enjoy to do, and our family has always enjoyed. And I've been told there's over 4 million miles of roads in the United States, all right? Now, I haven't traveled all of that, but not yet anyway, amen? But, you know, some of them are dangerous, amen? You know, like Avenue K. Some of them are, fun. Some of them are beautiful. I've crisscrossed on the 40, and then we've done it on the 70 through Colorado, and then we've done it on the 80 through Nebraska, and Nebraska, I mean, if you know what I'm talking about, all right, and then we're going to do it this summer through up the 90 and to have a good time. But I've gone taking the 5 to Canada and down to Mexico, and the Pan American Highway that all the way from South America all the way to North America. And it's a wonderful thing to do, to be on the road sometimes, and I know some of you will do that this summer. But tonight I want to talk to you about the most wonderful road of all, the Christian life. All right, would you stand with me? Let's read these two verses, and then we'll look at Isaiah 35 and read those three verses. And then I pray that tonight something that's said will be an encouragement to you. Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 13 first, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Notice Isaiah 35 now in verse 8. God talks about the Christian life, says here, and he says, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank you for your word and the privilege to read it tonight and just to spend some time here in the middle of the week as a church together, Lord, looking into your word. And I just do ask tonight that you would, Lord, bless your word. I pray that you would use it for good, and Lord, for admonition and for encouragement to your people. And I pray that you'd help me. And I ask, Father, that you would bless these upcoming days, and I pray that you would do some special things, Lord, here in our next couple of weeks in our church. And Lord, we're just looking forward to all the planned, and yet we pray that you would anoint it. Be with our pastor tonight, we ask. Lord, I ask for a special anointing, and Lord, for his heart and life, and that you would give clarity as he leads, Lord, and as he encourages so many in the upcoming days. And so we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. Well, Jenny and I, a few days ago, we love spending time as a family and with our kids, and I had just gotten back from a couple days missions trip briefly and with our pastor, and we got back into town, and of course, school has ended, and we went to the award ceremony, and seemed like it was last Friday night. We decided, well, let's go out and celebrate. Our kids had gotten some, you know, pretty good grades, and they get that from their mother, amen, and some awards. And so we said, well, let's kind of do a double thing. We'll celebrate, and we'll also just spend some family time. So we got in the car, and we started asking, where do you want to go? And of course, it just seems like the conversation always, you know, hovers around the topic of Chick-fil-A. Any of you know what I'm talking about, all right? And we just love it there. So we said, oh, well, let's do that. And so we kind of headed down to the Valencia area. I think that's the quickest or easiest or the closest Chick-fil-A around. And so we were heading down there, and we're just enjoying the time. And there went the off-ramp. And I thought, oh, man. And I told my wife, well, no problem. We'll just go down to the 5 North and kind of get there that way. And so we got on the 5 North, and you all ever do that? You know, you kind of check traffic before you go somewhere. Anybody ever do that? I'm kind of obsessive about that. I'm always trying to find the quickest way. And so, boy, we got on that 5 North, but I didn't do that this time. I never looked, never thought to check traffic to see how it was. And how many of you have ever taken that off-ramp, and then all you see is just this sea of red lights? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And that feeling that, oh, man. And I mean, it wasn't slow. It was stopped. I mean, it was just completely dead. And so, you know, you kind of take your place in line, and you know, I figured out there was an accident up ahead, and of course you can't go anywhere. It's not like you can get off. And now the questions begin to fly from the back seat. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, to make matters worse, you know, somebody looks out the window, and one of the kids said, "Dad, why are we stopped?" You know, and I wanted to go, because your dad's an idiot. You know, I mean, I don't know what to say. What do you say to that? How long is it going to be? You know, and I remember that right about then my dad called, and he said, hey, we're going to meet for dinner, right? And he said, we're running a bit behind. We're actually still in Palmdale. He said, I'm going to be probably another hour. Well, you want to say, how long did you sit there? Well, let me put it to you like this. He left Palmdale, got to the restaurant, sat down, ordered, was eating before we got there, all right? We spent a good hour, you know, just sitting there on the freeway. And I just remember sitting there, you know, thinking, what in the world? And I think sometimes, you know, we all feel that way, don't we? You could do that, and life is a journey, and we say that many times. And sometimes, you know, you can take some twists and turns, and whether it's literally while you're driving, but many times, you know, we can sit here and we can talk about emotional situations, financial decisions. We can talk about maybe family situations, and certainly in our spiritual life, God says that our spiritual lives are like a highway. And as we come to the Word of God tonight, Jesus, the master teacher, always spoke in terms that we could understand and that people can understand. And he told the people here, he said, listen, it's like this. He said, straight is the gate. And I think he was kind of pointing to the walls there of the city and that led to those Roman roads. I'm told there were 13,000 miles of Roman roads that had been built. And boy, they all had, for being in that century, 21 centuries ago, I mean, they had drainage and they had been compacted, and many of them are there today. Some of you maybe have been there and have seen them. And he's trying to describe the Christian life. And he said, hey, it's a lot like, he said, a gate, an off-ramp, we would call it. And he said, and then that decision to get off on that off-ramp leads, he said, to this wonderful destination, this wonderful direction, this wonderful road. And he said, and that road will ultimately lead you to a destination. Amen? And so a decision leads to a direction. A direction leads to a destiny. And how many of you are thankful that as Christians, we know if you have been saved, you're on the way to heaven. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing. And so we sit here and we go, well, first of all, he said, enter in at the straight gate. Notice verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. So he says, if you're saved, he said, you've chosen this gate. He says, you've taken the off-ramp to heaven. Amen. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people don't want to talk today about, don't want to hear a preacher be narrow. But let's be honest. How many of you appreciate it when your banker is narrow? Amen. I mean, you don't want him to say, well, it looks like $100, $2,000. Let's just write down $100, all right? No, you want him to count it out, don't you? Amen. I mean, you get on a plane, you don't want your pilot to go, well, I'm not sure where we'll end up today, folks. Maybe L.A., maybe Seattle. Hey, let's just go for a nice ride. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you don't want your dentist to go, hey, I'm not sure which one of these teeth it is. We're just going to pull them all right? You know what I'm talking about? You want your dentist to be narrow. And hey, when it comes to the most important decision in your life, how many of you are thankful that Jesus was clear? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He was extremely clear about how we get there. He said, I am the way. So we stop here and we see that Jesus says, enter in. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. By the way, aren't you thankful for this? We have the freedom to choose. You know how we have that freedom to choose? Because Jesus died on the cross. Amen? We were born, the Bible says, dead in trespasses and sins. And yet, when he died on the cross, he made a way, the Bible says, that we might be saved. And so, some people want to tell you today, hey, you've been, chosen to go a certain direction and you can't choose. Let me tell you, don't let anybody tell you that, all right? Jesus said, I will have all men to be saved. I'm very thankful for that. Don't let anyone tell you that, hey, you've been chosen to go to hell and you may have been chosen to go to heaven. No, the Bible says very clearly that God made us human beings, friend, not robots. He said, you can choose. Now, we're free to choose, but let's be honest about it. We're also forced to choose. And if you're here tonight, this is Thursday night, kind of a family night. But honestly, if you're visiting or you've been visiting for a while and you're kind of like, well, I'm not really sure about this salvation thing, this Christian thing. Let me just be honest with you. You can't wash your hands from it. You either receive Christ or you reject Christ. You know, you can't do like Pilate did, right? You know, I'm just washing my hands of this Jesus. You guys do with him what you want. I'm not sure yet. You know, the Bible says that you're free to choose, but you're forced to choose. And once you choose, whether you choose to reject him tonight, that will lead to a direction. That will lead to an eternity without Christ. Listen. I don't have to condemn you. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. How many of you have seen the little old track that they used to have in the 70s, I think, and it would say, you know, what must I do to be saved? And underneath it said, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? And then you'd flip it over and said, what do you need to do to be lost? And then there was nothing. I mean, friend, we're already lost. And so the Bible says that decision will then yield a fruit. I mean, you can go over here to the Revels building and you can decide, I'm going to jump off the third story. But I tell you, once you decide that, you can't decide what's going to happen to you after that, all right? That decision is made for you. And the Bible says, once you choose this way, he said, enter in. It was an invitation. He said, but I want to warn you, if you do or if you don't, that will determine, he said, where you will spend eternity. And I want to remind you tonight that once we do that, the Bible says, you enter in at the straight gate. Now, he said, you're in a narrow way. You're in a narrow way. Now, how many of you as Christians recognize that this is a narrow way? And the Bible described it real well. Now, that decision then determines a direction. I just want to talk to you today about the Christian life. And I pray nothing tonight will be new, but I pray that something may be encouraging. And I pray that as you get to the dog days of summer, sometimes we call it, that you will just say, Lord, it is good to be a Christian tonight. Amen? So let's talk about the Christian life. First of all, I want you to notice three real basic truths. First of all, I want you to notice that the Christian life is a disciplined life. It just requires some discipline in our lives. It requires that the Bible says, travel upon it with discipline. Notice in verse 14, it says, straight is the gate. And he says, and once you get off at that gate, he said, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Bible says it's a narrow way. Now, how many of you have ever been on like the 405 lately, like in the last 30 years while it's been under construction, all right? I mean, it's been an amazing thing. I mean, you know, and you're driving along and all of a sudden you come to these concrete barricades over here on maybe on your left-hand side. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, if you don't drive in the fast lane like some of us do, okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if over here you have these concrete barricades, and then over here, you know, and it's always that way, right? It's like an F-550 with, you know, tools sticking out the side. And now you've got to maneuver. You know what I'm talking about? And then you get to the Sepulveda Pass, and it's twisting and turning and up and down. And you're just going, oh, my soul. You know, and the kids are like, Dad, look, no. I can't look. You know what I'm talking about, right? And Jesus said, look, let me tell you something about the Christian life. He said, it's narrow. He said, it's real narrow. He said, it's like a winding road with tight. He says, I'm talking about, it's a lot more like the 405 under construction. He says, you've got to understand, this Christian life requires discipline. You can't be careless. Be sober. Be vigilant. How many of you heard that? Peter said that. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And then he said in verse 27, but I keep under my body, and I bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. How many of you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, he said, these men were saying, we have to be careful. And listen, many of us, we know this here, but let's be reminded tonight. Jesus said, it's a real narrow way. You have got to maneuver carefully. You know, the truth is that discipline brings power to our lives. You can take, some cords and throw them down here and you can go, oh, what a mess. But then you string them up and you put some tension and you hit them with hammers, and keys, and all of a sudden it makes a beautiful melody in that piano. I mean, you can throw water on the ground and it's just a mess. But boy, you dam that water up and all of a sudden it creates a force. You can, turn a light bulb on and, give some light. But boy, you focus that light and all of a sudden it's a laser beam that can cut diamonds and steel. It's a phenomenal thing what discipline does to the Christian life as well. You know, the Christian disciplines that we have, that we preach about, that we are taught all the time. You know what they are, folks? They're just simply guardrails that keep us on the narrow way. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you don't do them, you'll just quickly veer off. And that's why you read your Bible. And that's why you pray. And that's why you come to church and you stay in God's house. And that's why we give. And that's why we go. And that's why we stay, the Bible says, because these disciplines, they're not, as many would say today, they're just optional. No, Jesus said, it's a narrow way. You need to keep the guardrails up. We've got to stay disciplined about it. And many people want to just say, well, I tried going there, or I tried attending. I went to that church, and I'll tell you right now, it didn't work. They're just so strict. No, listen to me. Many times, it's not that the Christian life doesn't work. It's just not being lived. It's very simple. He said, I want you to understand. He said, it's narrow. It requires some discipline. You can't live it carelessly. And if you're here tonight, and honestly, I mean, this has just been a kind of one of those careless weeks. Tonight be a night to kind of reset. Amen. Amen. Notice number two. I want you to notice it's a different way. He said, it's not just narrow. He said, but few there be that find it. He said, listen, don't follow the crowds there. He said, they're not going to get you on there. He said, the crowds, aren't going on this way. He said, it's few that have found, he said, this way. Now, how many of you have figured out with me that the crowds are almost always wrong? I mean, gone are the days of the moral majority. How many of you figured that out, all right? We have the more immoral majority now. And that America is where it is because so many times we have followed the crowd. And we think sometimes, we want to say this, don't we? We want to say, well, I'm just as good as the other guy. And folks, listen, our way is different. It starts differently. It ought to be lived differently. It's going to a different place. It has a different origin. It has a different way about it, the Bible says, and because it has a different destination. We're on our way to heaven, and if you follow the tide of the world, you're going to end up going the wrong way most of the time. And you say, oh, well, I don't know. I mean, it pays to serve Jesus, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you something. It also costs to serve Jesus. There is a cost involved. I read this morning about a 58-year-old independent Baptist pastor in El Salvador who went a few weeks ago to plant a church there in kind of a coastal city. And then this past Thursday night, while you and I were in church, some gang members pulled them aside and said, so you're Christians. And him and five of the men from their church were slaughtered literally in front of some witnesses there just for being Christians. And let me tell you, sometimes we think, well, boy, isn't it a wonderful thing? It is a wonderful thing, but there is a cost involved. A young African martyr for following Jesus wrote these words, and they found them in his room afterwards, and you may have heard this before. He said, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap living, and warped goods. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My goal is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I won't shut up, let up, or give up until I've prayed up, stored up, stayed up for the cross of Jesus Christ. I must go till he comes. I must give till I drop. I must preach till everyone knows. Work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he said, he'll have no trouble recognizing me because my banner will have been clear. He says, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. Now compare that to the average Christian today. We want a cheap way, a quick way, the fast way to serve the Lord. And let me tell you something. Somebody said the other day that I heard it. They said, you know, today we have lukewarm churches with lukewarm preachers preaching a lukewarm gospel to lukewarm people who are living lukewarm lives. How many of you are here today and recognize, folks, God wants us to be red hot for him, the Bible says. It's a disciplined way. It's a different way. He said, I want you to understand. He says, there's not many that walk in this way. Aren't you thankful for a church that still challenges us to live for the Lord? Amen. To be different. To be disciplined. Now notice the third one here. And I want you to understand this. It's a delightful way. Now, lest we stop here and think, boy, it sure is rough. Let me tell you something. The Bible says completely the contrary. Notice in Isaiah 35 now. Would you go there? This is kind of the parallel passage to Matthew 7, I think. And God here is talking about the Christian life again. And some of you may remember a few years back when Pastor was preaching through the streams in the desert. And we looked at Isaiah 35 as just as a wonderful chapter of God's word. And in verse 8, the Bible says this, and an highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Now notice here that Isaiah is talking about the holy highway. He's talking about the Christian life. And he says, let me tell you, he says something about it. He said, it's a wonderful way. How many of you would say with me tonight, it is wonderful to be a Christian? Amen. It just is. And notice it. You say, why is it? Well, notice it. Verse 8. First of all, he said, it's delightful because it's clean. He says, the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools, shall not err therein. Now, he says, first of all, he says it's a wonderful way because it's a clean way. He says, I'm telling you, if you follow the Lord, he said, the unclean will not pass over this way. Listen, if your heart is full of sand and full of trash and full of filth, you're not walking in this way. It's just that simple. He said, it's a clean way. Ephesians 5, Paul here had just gotten done telling the Ephesians how to walk and how to some things to do, some things not to do. And he gets to verse 5. He says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, he says, but as wise, understanding the will of the Lord. We have to understand this tonight. God wants us to walk clean, the Bible says. No uncleanness there. It says, the unclean shall not pass over. Notice, secondly, it's a clear way. It says, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools, shall not err therein. Now, aren't you thankful that verse is in the Bible? Amen. You know what it says? It's a real clear way. How many of you are thankful that to be a Christian, you don't have to be a theologian? Amen. I mean, you don't have to have, you know, PhDs and multiple of them. And I'm not saying, you know, that nobody here does and that you have to be a dummy either. But you know what he says? He says very simply, he says the wayfaring men, the fools, shall not err therein. He's saying you don't have to be a theologian. He said to follow the Lord. It's not that complicated. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Luke 10, 21. The Bible says that Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. And he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. You know what that's saying? That the Christian life is really a very simple life, folks. It's a simple way. I mean, it is a simple thing to follow Jesus. You say, well, I don't understand salvation. You want to understand it? Here it is. Ready? You want to be saved? Come and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. You want to walk with the Lord? Very simple. Get up in the morning and let him talk to you through his word. Read the Bible. And then after that, you talk to him and pray. It's just not that complicated. How many of you are with me? Amen? Why? My situation is complicated. No, it's not. Read your Bible. What? Pray every day and you'll grow. And we forget sometimes. And Paul was so worried. He said to the Corinthians, man, I am just worried. He said that some of you, he said, the serpent, he said, made Eve, he said, get all complicated about it. He said, just get back to loving Jesus and walking with him. For so many of us tonight, it's just a simple decision. He said it's a clean way. It's a clear way. Notice thirdly, it's a confident way. I love verse 9, and I love that it's in the Bible. Notice in chapter 35 and verse 9, he says, no lion shall be there. Now, how many of you, that lion word kind of conjures up the image of the devil. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He said, there's no lion there. He says, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. You know what he's saying? I believe God's just saying to us, listen, he's saying in this way, he said, if you're walking with the Lord, he said, the redeemed shall walk there. He's talking about our Savior. And he says, if you're with him, if you're walking with the Lord, he said, let me tell you something. You are not going to have any trouble with the lion, the devil. He says, you're going to have any trouble with getting, he said, devoured by ravenous beasts. I believe that's sin, and that's the wiles of the devil. And so we come to this verse, and he says, it's a confident way. You know what he's saying? He's saying, get on this road, and he said, the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you are thankful for that? And then he goes further. He says, little children, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what I think? I think sometimes we think that holiness is the way to Jesus. You know what you need to remember? Jesus is the way to holiness. It's very simple. You know, people come up to me and they go, well, how do you get rid of this sin? And I used to go, well, you know, this stuff. Now it's like, well, you know, read your Bible. I mean, just love the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you walk with the Lord, I'll tell you, either you're with him or you're with sin, and you can't be with both. And the Bible says very clearly, he says, if you're with me, the Lord says, there, I'll make sure that the lion, you know, if you submit to God, he says, the devil will flee from you. He says, if you follow me, he says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world over and over. It's a confident way. How many of you are thankful you can walk confidently with the Lord tonight? Amen. He says, lastly, and I love this, it's a cheerful way. Now notice verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And they come to Zion. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's talking about heaven. And he says, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, this is awesome, because this is where it gets good for us. Amen. You know, this is where people want to say, oh man, it ought to be tough, you know, going to church. It's probably tough being a Christian, right? And folks, can I tell you something? It's not tough being a Christian. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. But listen, our way, it's wonderful. The Bible says that our way leads to Zion, to heaven. You can't talk about anything good without talking about heaven, amen? That's where we're going. And this way, remember, most of all, it leads to heaven, and the glory that shall be revealed is nothing. The Bible says this life is nothing compared to the glory that we'll have in heaven. So I just want to say tonight, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, it ought to be tough, you know, to like, you'd be on staff and like be a pastor. Listen, don't feel sorry for me. It's a wonderful life, folks. And don't feel sorry for any Christian. It's just a wonderful way. He says, it's a cheerful way. It's a way filled with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Joy, gladness. And he says, sorrow and sighing, he says, shall flee away. That's what heaven will be like. How many of you are thankful for that promise? Amen. Now, don't get the idea that it's hard to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing. I tell you, if you just stop sometimes, and you just think about where you came from, and what you were saved from. John Newton, we love to sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, don't we? And John Newton was a slave trader. He was just a wicked man. In fact, he brought himself so low, and he, the Bible says, literally had to sell himself to pay for some of his debts. And he wrote his own epitaph. And by the way, in that low estate, God saved him and transformed him. And he wrote this. He said, John Newton, a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ restored, pardoned, and appointed by Jesus Christ to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. And it's no wonder he wrote those words, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That what? Saved a wretch, he said, like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And if you stop to think about this, whereas things didn't make sense before, now they do. Whereas You had a guilt burden. Now you don't. Whereas before you were destined, the Bible says, to destruction. And you were on that wide road. Now we're on that narrow road that leads to everlasting life. Whereas once the Satan would just sift you like wheat. Now the Bible says, if you're walking with the Lord, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And if you've lost that joy, I just want to tell you, sometimes it's good to just remember where you're headed. You see, there are two roads. It's very simple. Once you get it, the Bible says, when you enter into that straight gate, now the Bible says you're in a narrow way. And by the way, it leads to everlasting life, the Bible says. But if you're here tonight and you're like, you know, I'm not really sure where I'm headed, and I've never made that decision to trust Christ. You know, the Bible says there's basically two kinds of people here tonight. The saved and the lost. Those that are on their way to heaven and those that are on their way to hell. It's one of the two. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to choose. No, you forget. You're forced to choose tonight. You have to choose. You can't walk out this door without making a decision. And I just want to challenge you today. You may have just walked in. Somebody just said, hey, there's church Thursday night at that church. And you just maybe walked in off the streets. Or maybe you were forced to come. I'm not really sure. But let me assure you of something. Tonight, you're going to make a decision. And you may say, oh, no, I'll do it some other time. Friend, you may have another time, but I'm not sure. The Bible says no man can boast about tomorrow. And I just want to say tonight, if you're here and if you're not saved, I want to encourage you tonight to make this the night that you enter in at the straight gate. I'm just a young preacher standing up here with a sign saying this. There's one way. There's one way. Get off. This is the only way. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, if you're here and you're kind of like, man, you don't understand the kind of day I've had. Well, I pray that you'll just stop. And the devil, you know, he specializes in making us all feel bad about the Christian life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And he'll come up to you, you know, and he'll say something like, has God said? You mean you have to go to church? And all of a sudden, he'll make us think about all the things we, quote, have to do. And can I remind you tonight, this is a wonderful way. We serve a wonderful Savior. It is a wonderful life. And so I want to remind you, it's a clean life. It is a clean life. It is a clear life. It is so simple. If you're here and you've made it complex lately, you may just need to get back to the simplicity that is in Christ. It is just a confident life. I mean, let me tell you, if you're walking with the Savior, you can face anything. And it is a cheerful life. Folks, there's no reason any of us should walk downtrodden. Amen. We're on our way to heaven tonight. How many of you are thankful for that? And let me tell you, let me remind you tonight. The Bible says one day, listen, one day all the people that, quote, lived it up on this earth, the Bible says that they're going to be full of sorrow. And one day you and I, we're going to walk into heaven singing, shouting, rejoicing. The Bible says all of those things, sighing, will be put away from us. How many of you are looking forward to that? Amen. No more sorrow, the Bible says. We'll rejoice forevermore. It's a wonderful way. And I pray that today you'll enter in at the straight gate. And I pray that today you'll remember that we serve a wonderful Savior who's given us a wonderful, wonderful for life with Him. Let's pray together.